Well, during this Shine the Light On series, we're taking different aspects of our Christian faith and shining a light on them in the hope of increasing our understanding and deepening our faith lives. Epiphany, the season we're in, is the season of light, when we are celebrating the light of the world, Jesus' birth into the world at Christmas. If you missed it, many people believe that Epiphany is the season of light because of the light from the star that appeared over the Bethlehem manger. But it's not. Epiphany is the season of light because Jesus, the light of the world, has appeared in and to the world. So today we shine the light once again, and this time we shine it on evangelism. This is not my favorite topic. It is likely not your favorite either. Evangelism is simply defined as the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. Now, I know you can hear me and I can't hear you, but I can hear you. I can hear you saying, oh, hey, no, Pastor, not going there. That's for you and you preacher types. It's not for me. But we'll see about that. You know, there's an old joke that goes, what do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with an MCC-er? Someone who will knock on your door and then not have anything to say. Evangelism. The spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness does not fall into most of our comfort zones. And that's a shame because the Bible is pretty clear about our roles as evangelists. Jesus himself is pretty clear from the Gospel of Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Those who call ourselves Christians are commanded to go and preach as surely as we are commanded to love. I think that's always been pretty hard, to go and preach, but maybe no harder than today. Today, when I feel like every time I confess to being Christian, I have to say, but not that kind of Christian. The Reverend Tracy Blackman, a voice for spiritual justice, for social justice, a wise voice sometimes crying in the wilderness, wrote these words, and they are a strong indictment. I want to meet your God. Small g, to see if your God really exists, this God you preach about, this God you quote and say you read about, this God who cannot hear the children cry, this God who does not heal the sick, this God who does not provide shelter, this God who is nourished but does not feed, this God of guns but not of grace, this God of kings but not of kingdoms, this God of greed but not of generosity, this God of the womb but not of the woman, this God who fears black skin, this God of America but not all of America, not all of the world. I do not know your God. What is your God's name? And then my colleague, Reverend Brian Hutchison, wrote this week, for quite a while, I have contemplated calling myself Christic or some other category that distances me from Christianity because, let's all agree, Christianity looks like a judgmental, nasty, hypocritical word I can't use today. However, I can't raise myself above above the dung of Christianity should I claim that Jesus is Christ? So here is my faith, Brian says. Christianity is another word I can't say this morning. I sit in the dung humiliated, but I love Jesus enough to live in the muck and know that I am in truth eternally rising. Oh Lord, I can sing that song. But is it faithful? Is it faithful in light of go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you? I need some help. And my help comes from another gospel. From the gospel according to Luke, in the 5th chapter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Did you grow up singing this song based on this scripture? "I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me." I did. And it's an evangelism song, wouldn't you agree? Isn't "make disciples of all nations" what "fishers of people" is all about? Don't they have the same aim, the same goal, making disciples? I think so. And I wanted to share some things that came up for me around that idea this week. Things that came up for me in this story that I just read about evangelism that I hadn't thought too deeply about before. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "We've worked all night but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. I always, when thinking about evangelism and fishing for people, worry that I won't be very good at it. But look what this story tells us. It says, don't worry if you're not very good at it. Peter and James and John and the others, all who should have been really good at it, fished all night and caught nothing. And then Jesus took over. I get so caught up in what I'm supposed to do and what success looks like that I forget to let Jesus do the work. Jesus asked me to be a fisher of people, to get out there with the knowledge and the tools available to me, to get out there to show up, to fish for people. I need to trust that the Holy Spirit will catch the people. And that takes a load off. And when they had done this, when they had cast their nets again, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, who were partners with Simon. Another thing I need to remember. I need to remember that when I'm sharing the gospel and fishing for people, it has to start not with me, but with my experience of Jesus Christ. My personal experience with Jesus. If I have never fallen on my knees and acknowledged who Christ is and who I am, the way that Peter did in that boat, if I have never fallen to my knees and acknowledged, then how can I invite others to? How can I, with authenticity, invite others to if that Jesus hasn't knocked me off my feet, hasn't gotten to me the way he got to Simon Peter? Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Jesus asked the fishermen to fish. I forget this all the time. Jesus asked the fishermen to fish. Now follow me here. He did not ask Matthew the tax collector to fish. Wherever you are, whoever you are, however you are, you can share the good news. It's as easy as, well, let me tell you one last story. Once upon a time, when I was about 4, my mother and I were at my grandmother's house when a summer thunderstorm blew in. It was early afternoon, and where it had been sunny, suddenly the sky went dark and the clouds exploded with thunder and lightning and rain. My mother had been ironing, but the power went out, and so she stopped her work and sat down in Grandma's rocker and took me in her lap. And the storm raged on. And when a bolt of lightning struck the clothesline pole in the backyard, it split the T-post and left it smoking. My mama pulled me closer. She started to sing. She started to sing something sweet and familiar. And I felt better. I felt safe. I felt loved. Now you have to listen to the words that she sang to me. Close your eyes if you want to. Imagine you're a scared little kid in a thunderstorm. Mama sang, "Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Did you hear? Poor boy, you're bound to die. Wouldn't you feel better hearing those words? Proclaiming the gospel. Anybody's throat tighten up just a little bit when I talk about that? You want me to do what? Proclaim the gospel? Knock on doors? Ask strangers if they've heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Share 4 points? Evangelize? Good heavens, Pastor, that's so pushy. That's so Baptist. That's so evangelical. People. I don't want you to do anything so radical. I don't want you to knock on doors, accost people on planes and buses and even in the grocery store. I don't want you to memorize scripture or invite complete strangers to church. But I do want you to sing Tom Dooley to the little children. I want you to comfort the ones who are afraid of the storm. I want you to open your eyes and your hearts to all those people you already know who have been lightning struck, hammered on, thundered at, sitting in the dark and the rain. And I want you to sing Tom Dooley to them. Now, I don't want you to literally sing Tom Dooley to them for lots of reasons. I just want you to open up and offer to them whatever is available to you. What do you know of that can offer a life preserver when someone is drowning? What do you know that can offer comfort or companionship or light in the dark? Witness to that. How about our church? How about the Deacon Caroline? How about music that stirs the soul? How about friends and growth groups and volunteer opportunities? What if proclaiming the gospel is as easy as opening your mouth and inviting someone to church? We took in 9 new members last week, and almost none of them have ever physically been to our church. So there's no excuse during this time of physical distancing. In fact, it's easier than ever to invite somebody to church. Hey, won't you visit my church? It's at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, or 6 o'clock on Friday evenings, or at noon on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. You can go whenever you want to, and you can wear anything, and you can eat. And you can even be checking your phone. But won't you come and visit my church? You might still be on the nervous side, but let me end where I started. We are commanded to share the good news, the gospel of God's unconditional love for all people. Remember Matthew. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. But did any of you catch that first time that I didn't finish? Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Evangelism, sharing the good news, as scary as it can seem, is never an individual or a solitary pursuit. And it is never entirely dependent upon you. The one who asks you to offer the invitation is always with you. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Amen.